Yuma Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches. This Mishnah begins by dealing with something called the Trumas Hadeshan, which was done every single day. And Trumas Hadeshan technically means removing the ashes from the Mizbeach, but this is not the same as cleaning out the Mizbeach to get rid of too many ashes that had accumulated and it needed to be cleaned. That was called Hotsa'as Hadeshan. That's taking out the ashes, and that's only done when there's too much ash in the Mizbeach and it needs to be removed. The Trumas Hadeshan was a daily avoda that had to be done first in the morning. Kohanim would do a gyrol, there would be a lottery, and the Kohen who won would go up the ramp to the Mizbeach and use a silver pan, kind of like a shovel, probably somewhat shaped like a dustpan, and he would pick up some of the burned out coals from the center of the Mizbeach, and then he would go down the ramp and put the ashes on the right side of the ramp that led up to the Mizbeach. The Trumas Hadeshan was an honor to get the chance to do. And b'chol yom tarmin es ha-mizbeach. And every day they would remove ashes from the Mizbeach. B'kriyas ha-geber, at the call of the man, of the crier, there was a veker, there was one kohen who was appointed to wake up all the other kohanim, osamachlo, or near that early alarm clock, bein lefanav, bein la'acharav, either before or after the alarm was done. And the Braisa explains that he would say, indu kohanim labodaschem, get up kohanim to do your avoda, levi'im leduchanchem, for your duchening, for your platform, and Yisraelim for lema'amadchem, for your station, for your ma'amad, that you're supposed to go to. And so every day, the Rambam says this was right after daybreak. Tosva says it had to be before daybreak, but really early, the alarm clock guy would go off. B'yom HaKippur mechatzos, and on Yom Kippur, the Trumas Hadeshan was done anytime from midnight. And this was done early, to avoid anything possible where it would be Cholsha the Kohen Gadol, where the Kohen Gadol would become weak. He had to do all the avoda that day. And since he is fasting for 25 hours on top of everything else, running around, doing all kinds of things, holding ladles with his teeth, changing his clothes, going to the mikveh a whole bunch of times, having him do the Trumas Hadeshan in the morning would be just almost one straw that breaks the camel's back. And so the Kohen Gadol, apparently himself, was the one who did the Trumas Hadeshan, and he would do it at Chatzos the night before he was staying up anyway, and then he would do it with some time to rest yet before he was doing the avoda later. Other Rishonim say that it didn't have to be the Kohen Gadol who was going to do it, but either way, with so much to do in daytime, they wanted to get this out of the way early. Uvar Regalim Me'ashmora HaRishona. And on the Shalosh Regalim, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they would do it from the end of the first Ashmora, from the end of the first watch, which was the end of the first third of the night. Everybody was divided into mashmoros, into watches for the purposes. The Gemara says the malachim sing shira in different groups during the night. And so the night is said to have three parts. And at the end of that first third, with so many hundreds, maybe thousands of people coming to bring karbanos at the Beis HaMikdash, there's a lot of animals that need to be burned, and a lot of ashes on the altar, and it's going to take quite a lot of work to get all the ashes cleared away. And so they would do the Trumas Hadeshan really, really early to get rolling and to get it out of the way. V'lo ha'isa kriyas ha'geber magas acha ha'isa azara maleya miYisrael. And yet, even before the wake-up guy started yelling out, everybody get up, the Azara was already filled with Jews who had gotten there early on Yontif morning because they wanted to be part of the Hashkama Minyan, and they wanted to bring their Karbanos early, right after the Karban Tamid was going to be brought. And so there were so many multitudes coming. Tiferes Yisrael actually suggests that maybe this was true also on Yom Kippur for people who wanted to come see the show, because the Kohen was going to be doing, the Kohen Gadol was going to be doing so much Avoda, that they would come fill up the Azara early to get a front row seat. Parak Beis Mishnah Aleph. Barishona, Kol Misha Rotze Litrom Esam Izbeach Torim. Originally, in the early years of the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't do any lottery for who was going to get to do the Trumas Hadeshan, the removal of the ashes, with that silver shovel. What they used to do, according to the Gemara, was they would have a foot race and see who was going to get there first, and if there was a tie, then there would be a lottery between the two guys who tied. And instead, they allowed it to kind of be first come, first serve. So the Gemara says, why don't they have a lottery right away at the beginning? Other different types of avodah had a lottery. So they thought, since it was being done so early, nobody was really going to be awake. How many people are ever really going to be getting up so incredibly early they want to do the Trumas Hadeshan? But they underestimated Kohanim, who loved the chance to do this avodah. And so the story goes on. Uvizman shehen merubin, and in a time, if there were many volunteers, Dutrumas Hadesha, and Ratsin Ba'olam Makavish, they would run and run up the ramp, which was 32 amas long, so maybe as many as 50 feet. And Mechol HaKodem is Chaber Ba'arba Amo Zocha, and whoever beat his fellow into the Dalet Amos, the top Dalet Amos of the ramp, he was the winner. And so there was a finish line, and there were a bunch of coaches with stopwatches watching the guys go, and it was really cool, and everybody enjoyed watching it. But if the two of them tied, Mamuna Omer Lohan, then the administrator, the head referee, technically Mamuna, the one who was appointed, was in charge of that aspect of the Beis HaMikdash Avodah, would then say, Hatzbiu, each of you put out a finger. To all of them, not just the winners. And so they would do a tiebreaker, and they would play Tiger, Tiger, Catch My Toe. So how would they, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, how are they going to do it? So they would ask all of the Kohanim to assemble in Lushkas HaGazis and stand in a circle around them. Everybody puts out either one finger or two fingers, as it's going to see. So here goes the Mishnah. So Umahin Motzien, what would they put out? Achas or Shtayim. Each guy would put out either one finger or two fingers. And then they would start counting off. So everybody would put out the one or two fingers, and he would go around the circle until he reached a random number. He said, whoever gets 97, they win. So he would start counting the fingers, beginning with one particular coin. The Mamuna, the referee, would just pick at random some guy and pick his hat off. And so the bareheaded coin was the starting point. And he would start with him, one finger or two fingers, and start counting off till he got to 97. Whoever's finger was the one sticking out with number 97, he was going to be the winner, and he was going to get the chance to go. Why did they count fingers instead of individual people? Because there is an isser against counting Jews directly. That's why we do the Hoshea Esamecha thing when we're trying to find the minion. And so Tosos actually says that the Kohen whose hat got taken off had to keep his hat off until the end of the count. That's why they did it in the Lishkas HaGozes, because you shouldn't stand with an uncovered head out in the Azara itself. So Ve'ein Motzien Agudol Ba'Migdash. Because they would put out one finger or two fingers. A Kohen, for example, who was not well would hold out two fingers, and the Kohen who was well would put out one finger, but they would count two as one, so it wasn't like odd and evens. Everybody puts out however many fingers they can kind of hold out and kind of leave them sticking out there, but they're going one by one by one by one until they get to number 97 in our little example. But they would not put out agudol, they would not stick out their thumbs in the Beis HaMikdash, and this seems unusual, but the Gemara explains a dishonest Kohen who saw that maybe the next guy after him was going to win, maybe he stretches out his thumb to make it look like it's somebody else's hand. And that sounds kind of bizarre. It would be pretty obvious. But because the thumb is spread out from the other fingers, maybe the Kohen who's counting isn't paying close attention. So if the one finger you stuck out was your pinky, and then you stick out your thumb next to it, and you have like your sleeve hanging over the whole thing, so he would go, all right, 96, 97. And the thumb from 97 would be the dishonest Kohen, and he would win. Also, there were so many Kohanim all jammed up together. Everybody's hands were right on top of each other, so you really could generally make that mistake. So now, the thumb is a little more difficult. The Rambam actually says that if somebody put out two fingers, we would count both fingers. So the Rambam actually differs with everybody else, and he says that you would count one, two, one, two, and you would keep going up till 97 in our example. The thumb, on the other hand, is very easily hidden and stuck in, says the Rambam. So that's why we didn't let him use a thumb, because then he'll leave it stuck out. When he sees he's going to lose, he'll stick it back in, or when he has a friend he wants to win, he'll stick it back out. And so no thumbs is basically the rule. More on the story of what happens when you let people run for it in the upcoming Mishnayos.